What are you still doing?
Exactly. A lot has changed. I'm just surviving. I'm just here. I'm still here. Yeah, I'm not. I don't know if you follow me or. I hate trucking. I absolutely hate trucking. I want nothing to do with trucking. I gotta change my Instagram name from Sexy Mother Trucker. I gotta change something else. That's how bad it is.
You gotta do the whole rebrand.
Yeah, revamp,
rebrand, all of that.
Yeah.
When we first talked the first time, was you driving or what was you doing when we talked the first time?
Yeah, I was driving. When we first talked, I was driving. I had some drivers. I was trying to build a trucking company and all that to bring that. But I mean, in fact, that was like in 2020 or 21, like 2021.
Oh, damn, we talked when it was good.
Yeah, when everything was up.
When everything was good. But now, yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
I just wanted to make sure because, like, so you do have your CDL, and you was a driver, right?
Hey, does anybody want coffee? Who wants coffee? I just made a fresh pot of coffee. Does anybody want coffee?
Yeah. I just got home. I just got home a few days ago. I haven't been home a week yet. I'm just getting home.
Okay,
you know,
but
after the holidays and all that.
Yeah, okay. So I'm just trying to catch my mind up to what went on then and then all the way down to now. So back then you had your own or you tried to build your own company. But did you have your own authority back then or what?
Nope, I never had my own authority. I always use third party CPLs, always use third party, which is part of the problem because you don't have full control and all that stuff. But I still see, I will always use, like, if I ever got back into it, I would still always use third-party carriers because I would have to protect my own authority, especially after everything that I witnessed. Like, these drivers would have shut down my authority, you know? but yeah.
Is it safe to say that you was part of the turnkey business style back then?
I don't know if it's safe to say that
because
I don't know exactly what that is.
Okay, so turnkey is investing with somebody else that can get your drivers, that can get your truck, and run the business for you. But you are an investor.
Yeah, it's something to that dynamic. Yeah.
Okay.
So I almost invested with Conference 180, that chick, but I didn't fully because I had. So anyways, yeah. So something like that. I was trying to take the easy way out, you know. I didn't want to do no work. So yeah. And all of it just went to shambles.
Yeah, and that's what basically turnkey is about. Is you quote unquote not doing the work, but kind of reaping the benefits if the benefits was there. But as things change, the dynamics of trucking has changed.
The economy changed, and everything, right?
Yeah. And
drivers so unreliable. It was just a lot. Yeah,
you got up out of it. Before it became a huge problem for you?
No, I got up out of it because it became a huge problem for me. Basically, is what I said. Just basically, too many hands in the pot, drivers being unreliable. So I don't know exactly. So the turnkey, I'm kind of familiar. I know I checked out that one program, and I know I checked out another program. Some guys down in Florida was like, give them like 50 grand, but what I did, I told you before, I was able to lease trucks. So leasing trucks and then putting drivers in them, I never owned the trucks. Those lease payments was about 2 grand a week, but the drivers, if they're not producing the correct amount of overhead to cover the truck lease, the fuel, and their own pay, and this and that, you're just in debt every week, you know? You're just in debt, and by drivers concerned with themselves, like, I'm having so many personal problems. Like, if I didn't vet my drivers enough, and then me personally, I overpaid my drivers because I didn't come in as a businesswoman. I came in from a driver's perspective, and I was so focused on, like, damn, this is a lick. Let me put drivers on. So let me help y'all make more money than what we were making as 30 cents per mile or something. But then it wasn't good as a business sense, because then where is my profit? Because I gave the drivers 75% of the truck's earning. So how do I survive off of 25%? And I'm responsible for everything, you know? So it was a bad business decision because I didn't have any knowledge or experience. You know, I'm just, you know, jumping in head first with this the opportunity or whatever. And then I was able to put the trucks under, like I said, third party carrier, and I was just like, wow, they were managing things for me and helping things. But then when that settlement comes out and they hit me with $2,000 in debt or $3,500 in debt, or a driver gets in an accident and is a 20, I mean, it was all on me. So it just was so overwhelming. And then the drivers were quitting, having personal problems, and a driver got one of the trucks confiscated trying to haul freaking foreigners, you know. Matter of fact, one of the trucks is still in with the border control to this day. But anyways, just a lie, and then I end up, so I was trying to get out of leasing. I purchased a truck.
So where you going? Hey, Tony, I gotta meet John down the restaurant. You fucking cocksucker.
Okay, so hold on right quick. Let's bring it back, because this is a story. This is a story of trial, tribulation, and try to be successful, while at the same time learning that all of this is just not fruitful. So you tried to get the drivers, you tried to come in on the leasing front, but you tried to do it by going to, like, the dealership and leasing the trucks from the dealership by getting a contract with them. And then you tried to put drivers, at least that you thought was reliable, in them, while trying to be like, well, hey, let me give you a better percentage here, because I came from that driver side. So let me try to give you a better percentage so that we can both get this money. But even with that, you tried to give these drivers a good percentage, a good foundation. They still fucked you.
So I would say agree to that.
With these drivers that you try to get, you already admit that you didn't do a good job in vetting them. But how did you come across them in the first place?
Most of my drivers, social media, Indeed, word of mouth. Social media, really, word of mouth, Indeed. Yeah.
Before I go into my next question, do you feel that social media itself kind of tarnished the trucking industry?
I have to think about that. Yay and nay. So with social media, I think it portrayed a facade. So, especially with so many people jumping into it and thinking it was just a quick get rich scheme, or like made it so easy. People don't understand it is hard work, dedication, it's time. Even myself, I was victim too. I didn't know how much hard work and dedication it was either, that I really took myself. You know, it's kind of more easier said than done. You know, I mean, it sounds good. Like, you got a truck, you got a driver, they're paying them good, everybody's eating, like, why can't it work? But then you do, certain things happen, accidents, breakdown. I mean, it's just a lot, you know? There's a lot that comes with it. And then people having personal problems. Drivers aren't robots, you know what I'm saying? We're emotional beings. Like, trucking is not a physical job, but it's a mental and emotional job. It's mentally stressful. It's hard being away from your family. Not even knowing what you can't even predict it, because some days you might have a perfect week, something might happen, and you might be stuck in the shop for 2 days, and it messes up your paycheck. I mean, it's kind of hard to balance. Like, it takes a lot, and I always had that understanding, but that was also a down point, like feeling too sorry for drivers. And I think by me kind of having more sympathy, it kind of like harnessed that relationship, because I don't know what happened, you know? I just don't know what happened. And then, so you can make social media, because I said, because some of my drivers came on social media, and then when they're seeing, it was in comments, like, if I'm doing my thing, I'm traveling, they're like, it got to be a hate, like, damn, like, wait, she just eating off of us. I'm like, damn, how y'all think I'm just eating off y'all? But it's a team effort. I'm helping y'all. Y'all helping me. We all eating together. But goddamn, if I'm giving you 75%, how much more do you want? 100%? You want the whole goddamn company?
They look. They looking at your pockets. They looking at your pockets. So
that's where I feel like.
Woof that said. You got drivers that's coming into your DMs.
My God, that is the best coffee I've ever tasted.
You're on your Instagram, you promoting your trucking business, and then you got all types of guys that just coming in. I just think those guys is just thirsty, because you're a beautiful woman and you pretty, you sexy, all like that. But you got these same guys coming into your comment session talking about, pick me, I'll drive for you, and this, that, and the third. You say, hey, okay, I'll give you a chance, but it'd be those same guys that be messing you up, right?
Exactly. Then some of them, which I now realize in hindsight, some of them probably came aboard thinking they would to meet me or get next to me, but I conduct my business out of state. I send you to where you need to go, and you never really meet me. You might talk to me, but I don't have to necessarily be there with you to conduct business. You know what I'm saying? So that backfired too. I know one person literally flew them out, and they realized they weren't meeting me. They didn't even take the trip. That was a waste of a $400 plane ticket. I stopped flying drivers out after that. I said, you gotta fly yourself out, and I will reimburse you. Yeah.
So in the beginning, where everything was kind of like popping off and you were still learning the industry and the aspect of it, you was bringing drivers out. You was like, hey, I'll fly you out, I'll bus you out or whatever. But you realized that.
Yeah, I flew everybody. I didn't even put nobody on my bus. Yeah.
But you realized afterwards where everything was coming, where everything was going south. You said bump all that, man.
Yeah, so now I have a new perspective. Now I have a perspective as for drivers. I have a perspective for owners. I have a perspective for dispatchers. I just have a perspective for the different avenues of the industry. Like, it kind of goes hand in hand. What we have to understand is we're all on the same team. But everybody in this industry, they're just out themselves. Me. Like vultures, like. It's no teamwork. It's no togetherness. It's no unity. That's the biggest turnoff for me within the trucking industry. And I just can't be a part of it, because that's not my personality.
Like I said, they pocket watching. They pocket watching your money. And then on top of that, like I said before, you're a beautiful woman, you're a sexy woman and everything, and you're out here trying to run the business, but these thirsty truck drivers thinking they're going to come in not only trying to cipher your money, but try to get in your pants at the same time.
Right. Yes. I had a few good drivers and I still have relations with, like, you know, but a lot of them, you know. Yeah.
Wow. That's crazy. Okay, so let's get to the
Jesus Christ. Mister, you okay in there?
Oh. You run from me, you fucking cocksucker? Where's my fucking money?
Border. What happened with that? You had a driver that tried to bring illegals over? What happened with that?
Right now, if the driver's still in jail and they still have a truck and it's still an investigation, all I know is I got a call saying that the truck was taken in. What happened from his brother or whatever, but all I know is the truck is, we don't have a truck back and the guy is still in jail. And he said he was like, he didn't know how. At first I felt sorry for him because he stopped me because he was such a quiet, nice young guy. He said he don't know how the immigrants got on his own truck. Until we found out he had about 16 of them, and it was in the inside of his goddamn cab. Like, okay, I said, at first I was like, okay, maybe they got in his trailer. You know, they snuck in the trailer, he didn't check the trailer, or maybe they jumped on top. But he was caught with them inside of his day cab. I mean, not the day cab, the sleeper. So that's still an undergoing investigation because that has been now about 4 or 5 months, and he's still waiting to get the truck, and he's still in jail.
So this is ongoing. So how long ago this happened?
It's been about four months. I would have to look up the article.
Wow, that's crazy. So he was coming. So where he was down at the Texas border.
He was down in Laredo, Texas. Yeah, Laredo, Texas. Yeah, Laredo. It happened down there. I guess he was going through the border patrol, and he said he was trying to rush them. And I guess he made the officers suspicious or something. I don't know. And they expected his vehicle. But the crazy part is I think they can see through it. Can't they see through it?
Yeah, they got some X-ray machine thing.
Yeah, they said everybody was on top of each other under blankets. They were all under blankets.
Wow.
Yeah.
I mean, I heard of a story a while back, but I don't, that probably might have been a different driver because they stopped him on the road, but you say your guy got stopped at the border patrol.
Right. Yeah.
Wow. So he went down to Laredo, hooked up with
some amigos,
or whoever. And they offered him some money, and he just sacrificed his CDL and your reputation for the truck. Just to bring them where? Like, out of Texas?
Right. I know, right? I guess so.
Wow. That's crazy. So, but it's always the quiet ones, right? You didn't even expect that from him.
As a matter of fact, it was in September. Yeah, it is. Because I thought he was a quiet, nice young kid, guy, you know, young man, responsible, you know. So, I guess.
It's been a minute since we talked, and I guess a lot of things have changed since then. What have come to fruition?
Well, the funny part is, I got to, like, so sometimes when I say, because I thought social media, I don't live for social media. Like, social media is not my thing. Like, it took me a long time to get on social media, and I'm not really on it. So even to, like, people listening or whatever, people have to forgive me. I don't always check my messages. I don't always reach out because I'm not on social media. And like, sometimes if I get on, I might scroll through a couple of videos and jump off. But I don't post everything about my life. I'm like a private person as well. But people do be watching. They pay attention. And people say like, "Well, I thought you was doing this, or I thought you was doing that." But shit happens. Life happens. Shit changes. You know what I'm saying? And that's okay. You know what I'm saying? But yeah, I just like, for me, trucking, like if anybody ever had a conversation with me and you would say you would boast about being a trucker, I would always say I am not a trucker. I just happen to drive trucks. Meaning, trucking is just not a job, it's actually a lifestyle. And for you to last in this industry, you really have to be passionate about it. I was never passionate about it. I thought I was going to get out here, get my CDL, make $100,000, and get out. But I got stuck. I got stuck into trucking. And then obviously learning a little bit more. I was like, oh, okay, well, now I can see this money to be made, but I'm trucking. I was never passionate about trucking. And now going through everything I went through with trucking, and especially, I still, like I said, I just got home. I've been driving because I always get on the truck, get off the truck. Because it is addicting, because you know, do $2,000, $3,000, $4,000, $5,000 paychecks or checks, you know, if you can't get to that home. But being in debt or having something break down and you got to come 8, 9, 10, 12, I mean, it hit different too. So basically, I'm a mom first. I'm just happy to be home. I just want to be all about my kids. For those who know, like, sexy mother trucker, I'm a mom, and my kids have grown on the truck with me for a couple of years. Like, I had my kids on the truck, but that's unfair to them. I'm just ready to like move on to different business ventures and be a mom. That's my biggest thing.
So technically, as of right now, as of 2024, catch up, you're a company driver, pretty much.
I'm looking to become a company driver. I'm looking for a job right now, and I cannot get a job. I don't know what's going on. I have a clean record. They say they want you to have, I live in Houston. They want you to have court experience. I don't have court experience. Or they want me. I had backed up a few times from tests, and I guess I didn't back up fast enough because my trucking career, you know, I team drove, and I was probably unable because my co-driver would back up a lot for me. You know how men are. So I'm probably not the best backer upper, but then me even being a solo driver, I can't back up. I get in there, I don't hit anything, I'm very safe. I think that's what matters, but I don't know. I'm having a hard time getting a local job. So that's my goal, is to work local while I'm pursuing other business ventures.
Okay.
That's my goal right there.
Put that coffee down.
Truck driver, formerly known as Sexy Mother Trucker. You say you got to do a whole rebranding of the name. You don't even want to go by that no more. So we just going to call you Truck Driver from now on.
No, you cannot call me Truck Driver. Look, I was like, man, so I say, keep on trusting me, keep on moving, keep on moving. But no, I don't know. So Sexy Mother Trucker, I have to put some thought behind that. I don't know, because like I said, social media isn't everything to me, but I do have, you know, somewhat of a following. But I think people follow me because I am Danielle, so you know I'm just Danielle. But I don't know what I have Yeah, I don't know what I have going on. So social media for me is like a vision board. So like when I join social media, I like to see positivity on my timeline. I try to spread positivity. I try to spread kind words, kind thoughts, especially for my people, and especially for Black men, because I like have a deep town, like deep love for Black men. Like, I don't know. But anyways, so that's what I'm about. So just positivity. So that's what's going on. 2024 just begun. I just got home. New Year. So we're gonna see what happens. Like I said, I was looking for a company job, but I haven't been able to get it. I don't know if that's God's way of telling me he has something else for me in store. I don't know. I'm open to new business ventures. I'm open to a new career change. I get all that I could possibly give it. Yeah. That's good. Like I said, once I figure things out, I'll keep you posted, keep you updated. Like I said, I don't know what the future has in store for me right now. All I know is I'm just happy to be home. I'm happy to have survived Chucking. You know, I had some near life death experiences. You know, Chucking hasn't been easy, you know. Oh, yeah.
In too deep like Omar. Make me want to track you down and hit the track hawk with the crowbar. I knew we wouldn't go far, like we ran out of ethanol. Now your nosy ass mama want to get involved. When I met you, you was on the couch with the plastic. She need an Emmy, bitch so dramatic. Now your baggage got me on edge like Jagged. Fucking up my homes, look Patrick. You swift to jump shift like a chief. Been crying on my line like Therese. But it ain't all you, it's me. Blaming on the things I went through.